We are talking about giving today, and this is not a ploy at all for you to give, but it is something that we need to talk about because as we're in our really last chapter of Corinthians, Paul is talking about being benevolent today. And whether or not we like to realize it or not, giving is a part of what God asks us to do. And it is probably one of the most difficult things that we have to do because it involves giving something that we have earned. And it's hard to let go of what we have earned because we've earned it. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to trust that it's going in the right spot. So just want to encourage you guys today, as Missy's going to kick it off for us, just to be open with this today because we're really not just talking about tithes and offerings today. We're really talking about sowing into your future. Mm-hmm. And not realizing that what you're doing now, you actually are setting up your future. You're setting up your future. And not just your future, you're really setting up the church's future. Mm-hmm. Because what you do today has an effect on tomorrow. And I remember Whitney Houston's song, "I Believe the Children Are the Future." Oh, teach them well, let them lead the way. It is true, okay? What we do now, and even training up our kids, we believe that when they're old, they're not going to depart from it. Yeah. And so we decided to believe that God's in control. And how many of you would say, you know, I could really use God's blessing on my life? I could really use God's blessing on my life. And one of the ways that you're going to get God's blessing is by giving. Mm-hmm. And understanding that, first of all, not to go into what you're talking about today, but first of all, understand that he's the giver who gives to us first. And in response to that, we give back to him. And in that, that's where that test of faith comes in. Seeing whether or not we're able to trust him, what we give back to him, and whether or not he can bless it and really cause it to overflow in our lives so we can actually do the things that he's called us to do. So as Misty starts, just have an open heart today. So I believe that God wants to take you from this level to the next level. And anytime God takes you from this level to the next level, it's going to require a level of faith, and it's going to require a level of testing. Anytime you graduate from first grade going into second grade, there is a certain amount that you have to learn and understand before they will pass you into the second grade. And it is the same way with God. In order for God to pass you into the next season and next level of faith, you're going to have to pass the test that he's putting you through right now. And the one thing about God is that God is patient. God will wait and give you the test again. But just because he wants you to pass it. But at the same time, there comes a point where the test gets harder because he wants you to get to the next level. And that's how good he is. So, Missy, I'm going to turn it over to you. I'm so appreciative of who she is and the blessing she is in my life. Go ahead, wife.
Thank you. Hi, how are you guys doing? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so we are concluding. This is our last week. So we are talking about the 12th and final lesson that Paul is giving us. And he is talking about in here benevolence. So what does it mean to have benevolence, to be benevolent, have a benevolent heart? And so we really wanted to, Richie and I were talking about this subject, and as we kind of wrapping up the summer, we were thinking of all the ways that benevolence occurs in our life. And really, we could sum it up and put it into two categories. And the first category was now giving, and the second one was later giving. And so we kind of ideated around what that looked like, and for our church and for us individually as a family, and even for our friends that we've seen walk this out and be successful at this now and later giving. And I'm sure that there are many people in here who can tell you, I wish I would have when I was, Leslie shaking her head because she probably sees this on a daily basis as a CPA, people who say, I wish I would have, and really forgetting the fact that we have to set up later now.
Yeah.
And that's what that looks like. Now, later never comes if we don't do it now. And that's the hard part because we always live in the now instead of I'm building something for later. And the Bible talks about this, that what we do here echoes in eternity. And I'm so thankful for the seeds that my family has sown, seeds of just really spirituality and spiritual growth. We weren't perfect. We made tons of mistakes, and there were tons of things that we could have done differently. Hindsight is always 20/20, but I'm thankful for the fact that my family always said, I'm sorry. We learned that fast. Always, I'm sorry. And then always giving and being very benevolent. This was something that was really ingrained in us as kids. And Richie can attest to this. My family gives probably sometimes when we shouldn't. Let's just be honest with you. I mean, there would be plenty of times growing up where we would give all that we had to people that were in need, much, much more need than we were. But let me tell you something that's so cool about God. He always met our needs.
That's right.
Always. So even growing up as a little girl, seeing God be so faithful in what my family had given We didn't have much, but we gave faithfully.
Yeah.
And that was a huge part of what I believe and why I believe we are called as a church, as a community, to do things so differently. That's why we do partner with organizations and ministries within the community. Because one, yes, we're effective if I sow my seed. But think about all the people in here sowing a seed, what we can do. And even this week, just having a really great, amazing opportunity, I am getting ready to go into my internship in January 2020. And so I really have I'm on the scout for an internship, right? So I've been submitting applications and doing all this stuff, and I had seen an opportunity at an organization that my grandfather worked at. And it was actually in the same exact field of study that he was. He was a substance abuse counselor. And so I saw this opportunity come up, and I thought to myself, I wonder if that's an opportunity that they would hire me as an intern. So I contact the organization, and I tell them, I am Bill Benedetti's granddaughter. He helped start and pilot the program now, the MAPS program that this organization utilized. And she was like, oh my gosh, you have to come in, and we want to show you what your grandfather's legacy looks like. And it blew my mind. It blew my mind. Because I'm in this room and I'm walking in this huge organization. And when he worked there, it was a pilot program. So you get like the smallest amount because they want to make sure you're not going to screw it up, right? So they give you the smallest amount. Maria's shaking her head. She knows exactly what this looks like. But so they give you a tiny amount of money and they say like, make that stretch and prove what your theory is. So here this organization is proving basically that they can rehabilitate people who are struggling with substance abuse. And they're successful at it, and they are given more financial grants and opportunity, and the program evolves, and it keeps evolving, and 40 years later, it's this amazing organization. And I'm walking down the halls, dang it, I hate crying. And I'm walking down the halls, and I'm thinking, he would have been so proud. He would have been so proud. Every single day he took that now step. I'm getting up, I'm going to work, I'm doing my job. Every single day. But there was a hope in his mind that one day we're going to save people's lives. Mm-hmm. We're going to walk with people out of addiction. Amen. And now there are thousands of people every day that because of his now step each day are walking out the ramifications of that. And so I want to talk to you about now. And there are a couple of things that our now giving does. The point was this. When I was sitting there, the lady turned around to me at one point in time and she said, what do you think your grandfather would say if he was walking here right now? And I'm like, here I am, I'm interviewing, right? So I don't want to bawl my eyes out, right? So I'm like, he would be so proud, you know, like trying not to cry. But in my mind, I'm thinking he would have been so proud of what God had done through him. And he ministered to his people, and he talked to them. And so setting up those now steps, there are some things that we do now that sets up later. And if we go into our text, let's go into 1 Corinthians 16, 1-4, and it says this. Now regarding your question about the money being collected for God's people in Jerusalem, you should follow the same procedures I gave to the church in Galatians. On the first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned. Don't wait until I get there and then try to collect it all at once. When I come, I will write a letter of recommendation for the messengers you choose to deliver your gift to Jerusalem. And if it seems appropriate for me, I will go along with them in my travels. And so Paul's setting up an opportunity for us to give now. He was saying, don't wait until I come, because it's not always consistent. But we want to consistently collect. What he was saying is, each week, take that now step. Because when I come, we'll be able to collect a larger sum of money, and then we'll be able to deliver it, right, to those in need, to the poor and to the impoverished. And so he set this up, and it was successful in the Church of Galatia. So he's telling the Corinthian church, this is how I want you to set it up. And so some of us now, if you think about it in your own life, how have you set up your later now? How have you set up your later? What is your ultimate goal, the ultimate thing that you want to see? And how have you set that up now? I was thinking about this. Pat's here today. I was thinking about this and how my Nana did not imagine that she was going to be a golfer. No idea that she would like the idea of golf, right? When she was working every single day at American Heart Association, putting money in her 401k, doing her Now Step every single day, setting it up, she did not realize that as a result of that, she would be volunteering at her church all the time. She goes out and witnesses with the team every week, and she gets to play golf. She set up her Now Step, but God opened up doors of faithfulness or of opportunity for her in other ways to bless her. But it was because she set up those Now Steps way back when, right? So some of you are thinking like, oh, well, I'm just working, putting money away in my 401k. But guess what you're going to get to do one day? You're going to get to have later because you set it up now, right? This was actually a little convicting for me when I was planning this message.
It usually is.
It usually is, right? It usually is. All right, so there are three things that our now giving accomplishes. And the first is this. It helps advance the kingdom. I appreciate what Sharon was saying because, there are bills that have to be paid and things like that that have to be done. And so every time we give in the offering, we go to that. Also, for those of you who don't know, we are praying, standing in faith, and believing God that he's going to give us a permanent location. Amen. We are believing that. And so right now, we have to take now steps in order to accomplish that. That means we got to put some money in savings, right? Because we don't want to be like, well, we'll pray for it. Yeah. And they'll be like, well, get a job. Yeah. You know what I mean? So we got to put some money into savings. So those are the kind of things that we get to do and our now steps get to do. The second thing that our now steps get to do is they provide for those in need. Our church, Richie and I feel like, and our care team, our community team, we feel like our church is called to the community. We feel like we are called to do something bigger than just inside these four walls. It's really important to us that we make sure that needs are met. If there is something that needs to be done, that our church has the financial resources to be able to give and do that. And we want that. We want to be have a giving heart. I love the fact of when people call me on the phone and say, hey, so-and-so gave us your name and said that TCC's volunteers are the best. Man, I love that. Because that means that our church has a reputation of being a giving church. We're not just about talking, but we're also about action. Mm-hmm. And that's what we'd rather be. Let's just speak softly and carry a big stick. Right. So we provide for those in need. And I want to tell you about an opportunity that we had, that we are having, a little bit of an ongoing. I told you guys a few weeks ago about a family who they had two twin boys, 5 weeks old. One of the little boys passed away, and then the other one became pretty ill. And so through some testing and some very expensive testing, medication, things like that, it was discovered that both boys had something called SMA. And it is a neurological disorder, and it is, a couple of years ago, it would have been a death sentence. But now, through medicine and through God, that there is hope on the other side of that. And so we may not be able to financially as a church cover these $1 million medications that this family has to go through. But what we did and what our church decided to do is we decided that every single time they were going to have to go to Orlando, that we were going to pay for their hotel bill. Something so simple and so small, but our church financially could commit to, because when they wake up every single time they have to go there, she'll text me in the morning and say, hey, thanks. I woke up. We went right to the hospital right across the street. It was perfect. Thank you. Thank you guys for doing that. That's the kind of little stuff your giving helps us do. We get to partner with people who are going through some of the darkest times of their life, but we get to bring hope, even if it's just providing a place to sleep. I'm okay with that.
Right.
I'm okay with that. And the very last thing that our now giving provides is our now giving establishes a pattern of obedience. We know that everything belongs to the Lord. That's how we feel. We believe that in our heart. And so when we have our financial resources and whatever God gives us from our paycheck, whatever, and we hold that with an open hand and we say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do with this money? He's clear. He helps us. He guides us. He leads us into what we need to do, and that becomes our obedience. That becomes our now steps that we take. And when we do that, we believe that God opens up the windows of heaven and provides more. When I hold on to my money, this is all I have. That's all I have. But when I open it up, I make my hands available to receive whatever he puts in my hands.
That's right.
If he has my money, he has my heart. That's what the Bible talks about. If he has my money, he has my heart. And so we want to have an open heart, an open and giving heart. And we want to just really take those now steps every single day, then apply those obedient steps so that we can receive all that he has for us. But there's something else.
Yeah, it does. And I appreciate that because obedience is a big thing, especially with God. We can do a lot of things, but if we're not being obedient, we're not doing the thing that God asks us to do. And so blessing comes as a result of our obedience. And really our heart, as Missy said, is to really embrace community, but also impact the community. And so our job as ministers or being in ministry is to meet needs with love. And so that means to look past what we would categorize as a need in a box or something that we say, well, we can only minister here, and say, you know, that's not where really God has called us just to minister. He's called us to take the lid off that and see where else can we minister. It's not just about taking care of the needs of the church, but it's about really doing good to those who are part of the body of Christ outside the local church, because they are your brothers and sisters. And so being open to that is really key, because our heart is not just for here. Our heart is for everywhere and where God's really leading us. And so that's why I really believe that God has placed us where he's placed us, so that we can have an impact, not just in the four walls, but outside the four walls, in your businesses, in your jobs. Because whether you realize it or not, people are everywhere in need. And just being obedient to that. And so tearing down that idea that it's about the church being built up and making sure the church has enough, and saying, okay, well, are the people that I'm doing life with, do they have enough? And can they get up in the morning and feel good about the fact that they don't have to worry about where that's coming from, because we took care of the hotel stay? And that's just going above and beyond. I want you to begin to start to think differently about, okay, God, how can you use me to impact somebody's life outside the box that I placed you in? Outside. Because this is wonderful. But if we're not impacting the people that we're doing life with, it doesn't make any sense. And there's no benefit to that. I believe that God wants to do things that will blow your mind outside your scope of the limitation that you put God in, and say, okay, what can I do? I believe God wants you to impact somebody around the world. You've got to be open to it. Open to it. And believe that God's going to take care of your stuff as you take care of his stuff. You take care of God's stuff, he'll take care of your stuff. I promise you in that. And sometimes that means just opening the door of opportunity for you guys to be able to do what actually you'd like to do in your life. How many of you believe that God actually wants you to do what you like to do? That God is not just concerned about you doing what he wants you to do, but God wants you to do what actually you like to do. And I believe that if you start to do what you like to do, you're going to like God better. Because all of a sudden you realize, well, God has placed it in your heart to do it. And so as you begin to do that, all of a sudden your heart begins to swell and your perspective about who God is changes. And you realize that God is not some tiny little God that you can put inside of a hat, that he's so much bigger than that, and that he wants your impact to really last. And so as we go into later giving, this idea about later giving really comes from the story in 2 Samuel when David is residing in a house of cedar. The Bible talks about, the Bible says that God had given him rest on every side, and he's residing in a house of cedar, and he's looking and he's seeing that the presence of God is still in a tent. But what he wants to do is that he wants to build a temple so that the presence of God actually can be put in the temple. Because back then, we know that the presence of God wasn't necessarily in the hearts of men yet. It wasn't until Jesus came and the barrier broke down. Now that the Holy Spirit is living inside of us, the presence of God was there. But they wanted the presence of God. He wanted to build a temple, and he wanted the presence of God to be inside that temple. And so he talks to Nathan the prophet, and Nathan the prophet says, go do whatever your heart tells you to do, because God is with you. And it's not until God interrupts Nathan and says, hey, listen, you need to tell David this. It is not David's to build a temple for me. It's for his son to do. And so David really had to come to this reckoning that whatever was in his heart, that was great, but wasn't necessarily his to build. And so he had to understand that there was someone coming up behind him that was actually going to see what David wanted come into fruition. And so maturity comes in, is that where you can get to the point in your life where you understand that something that you're doing now, you may not necessarily see the effects of that long term, But can you be part of the process and laying down brick and laying down foundation and eventually see what you had in mind come to fruition, but somebody else actually run with it? Do you know somebody, you're in your job right now, you're actually doing the job that someone else is going to run with soon. You know that. And that's hard sometimes to put your mind around because you're setting it up for them. You take it in a certain length, you take it in so far, and then you put your blood, you put your sweat, you put your tears into it, but there's going to come a time where God's going to say, okay, that's enough, it's time for you to graduate to the next season. Here comes Michelle. Michelle's going to take your job, but I'm going to give her a different grace to do what she needs to do for the next season of that. And so we have to be mature about that. And to know that even some of the things that we start in our life, we may not ever see the lasting results of it, but we know that when we do die, like Misty said, the work that we do here does echo in eternity, and it will go on. You know, many times when you look at the book of Hebrews, we call it Faith's Hall of Fame or Hall of Faith, because many of these people died, the Bible said, without seeing the promise that God had given them, because God had something better in mind so that we could all partake in, meaning that eventually so that we could all come together, people of every race, when this is all said and done, and see the glorious majesty of what Jesus is and what he actually accomplished in the earth, eventually one day together. And so that's why we're running the race, but there's eventually going to come a time we're going to cross the finish line, and there are going to be people coming behind us who are going to take out the baton, and they're going to go, and they're going to continue to run. And we'll be in heaven, and still they won't see the fulfillment of all that God has, because eventually God will say, when it's all said and done, when every I is dotted and every T is crossed, and he said that's it, he'll bring us all together and we'll experience what God had in mind for eternity. Eternity. And so he has set it up that way. And so he has set you up that way. You play a particular part in this race. You play a particular part in this life. And so the question is, are you playing your part? There's nothing like being in a place and you feel like you're out of place. There's nothing like being in a place and you feel like you have to like put on a front or fake it, because it's just not who you are. And so that's why when God asks you to move certain places or certain locations, he does it for a reason. Because he knows, hey, listen, the grace is leaving for that season, and I want you to place you in another place where you'll be able to use your gifts and talents. That's just how God. Can I use that as an example? I am. You just love me later. All right, so I remember when we started the church probably a couple of years ago, and Sharon would come, you know, on Saturdays when we started, and then we had a conversation one time, and she said, you know, I remember being where the church I was at, and she said, I felt like God was just wrestling with me and said, what are you doing here? I called you to be at TCC, because that's where the fullness of what I have for you is going to come into play. Now, I use that as an example because where she was at was good for that time. Right? But God said, that time is over. I need you to move into where I'm calling you to move because I have some other things to ask of you. Now, she could have pouted and said, I'm staying. But it would have been hard and difficult to do that, because when the eagle begins to put the thorns in the nest and say, it's time for you to get out and fly and go somewhere else, you're really going to have no choice but to fly or die. And so I think you have to get it in your heart and say, you know what? The risk of me dying scares me. Without seeing the fullness of what God has for me in my life come to pass. So if that means that I have to be uncomfortable and God wants to move me where he wants to move me, it could be a job or whatever it is, or to a church, I'm willing to do that because I don't want to get to the end of my life and regret that and say that I played it too safe. Because I was concerned about being, number one, comfortable, and number two, I was concerned about what everybody else was going to say about me. And so if you can get over that, you'll move yourself forward and begin to really grab onto all that God has for you. And I believe that that's what God's heart is for every one of you. To be able really to grab on to the fullness of what God has and not worry about what was in your life. And that was good. You take the lessons and you learn them. But move on. And like Missy said a couple months ago, some of us have graduated. And God said, I cannot teach you anything else on this level. I need you to take the diploma, and I need you to move across the stage, and I need you to move on to the next season of your life. And I would just implore you to do that. Because there is so much more of God in the next season of your life that it's worth leaving this season. and value it. And you can remember the good times of it. But know that once God begins to move you and the grace begins to move with you, that's where you want to be. You know, when the presence of God moved in the Old Testament, what happened? They followed it. Because that's where you want to be. If I sense, and you know what this looks like. If I have an awareness and then says, oh my goodness, I can sense God's not here no more. It doesn't mean he's not there. It means I can sense for me, he's not here no more. That means I've got to move. That's my sign. If you're asking, what does that look like? What you are accustomed to, it doesn't feel right anymore. And God is beginning to do something different, and what was comfortable and normal now becomes strange and awkward. And it has nothing to do with the fact that God is not aware of your surroundings, and God is not aware and present and where you're at, because the Bible says he's omnipresent. It has everything to do with the grace of God shifting and moving in your life. And let me just help you. When that moves and shifts, get ready to go. Get ready to go. It's time. When the children of Israel were about to go in the Old Testament, there was no time for debate. It was time to go. They had lived in slavery for over 400 years. It was time. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. God had set it up. It was time for them to go. And you can imagine the excitement that was happening during that time. You know, some of them are probably having some doubts about, okay, where are we going to go? I don't know. We're just going to follow where God's leading us. And sometimes that can be a trip for you if you're not careful. Because sometimes God will start to ask you, hey, where are we going? I'm going to show you where we go. That might be a deal breaker for some people. Because for Abraham, that was the key. Abraham at the time, when God came to him and said, hey, get up out of your country. And go to a place I'm going to show you. Because it's in that place that I'm going to bless you. And he begins to tell him about how numerous his descendants are going to be. He begins to give him this huge promise. But he had to get out of where he was at and trust God that God was going to get him where he needed to go. He did not know where he was going. All we know is that the Bible said he got up, took his family, and now he went. That requires faith. Because oftentimes, God does not show you the destination. He says, get on the road, and let's start walking the journey together. And then from afar off, I'll begin to show you some stuff. Because that's where faith comes in. I'm going to show you it. Why does God do it that way? Because if you see it, you're going to run and try to get it. Try to manipulate it, and try to make it happen before God wants you to make it happen. And so that's why when God gives you a promise or God gives you a vision, three things about this whole idea of later giving. It requires discernment. What is God asking me to do? Is it, and how many of you know this? When God gives you something, you go into a little bit of a match with him. You're like, okay, is this for now? Is this for later? What do I do? Do I go? Do I go now? And the tendency is indecision. Because you're caught. You're excited, but you're caught. All you need to know is that, all right, I just got to take some steps toward it and know that God will slow me down and God will direct me where I need to go. But I have to get moving. I can't just sit. Indecision will kill you. It'll kill you. If you don't make a decision, if you hesitate, you lose. There's a certain window of opportunity that God speaks to you in your life. There's a window of opportunity. It doesn't mean that he leaves you or forsakes you. But there is a certain window of opportunity in your life where God says, hey, listen, I need you to move. I need you to move quickly. And if you know God, oftentimes it's more urgent than others. Hey, listen, there's something happening in your life right now you're not aware of, but I need you to move because as you begin to move with me, I'm going to protect you from these things here, but there's an assignment out for your life. There's an attack that's getting ready to happen, and I need you to go, and I need you to move. See, God is ahead of the enemy, and God will get you moving. That's why if there's a step or urgency in you, take heart to that step. Because if you're not careful, you can end up getting pummeled when you don't need to get pummeled. That's why when you feel a stirring in your heart and you feel like God is moving, get up and move. Where am I going? I don't care. Just get up and start moving and walking, and God will put you where you need to be, and He'll act as a little shield and protection for you to get you to the other side. And listen, I've seen it in my own life. You have to understand what that is. He does it for you and does it for your protection. Because every day that when you wake up, there is a calculated assignment. There is something that is strategically planned to take you out. And if you are not careful, you will be taken out. And so that's why God is always ahead of the enemy. And oftentimes, God will speak to you about things that have not happened yet, just so you get ready. So that's what dreams and visions are about. This is exciting because God gives you that stuff and says, hey, listen, this hasn't happened yet, but it will. And He tells you that because hell will break loose in between when He gives you the promise and you actually begin to see it. So that you don't lose your nerve and you don't lose your steadfastness and you don't lose your ability to keep moving in the midst. Everything else is flying around you and the assaults of the enemy are coming. Just know that God says, I've already showed you it. Because God gives you the belief so that you can know that I'm good and I'm going to bring it to pass. And I'll continue to show you it, but I'm doing it for your benefit and your purpose. Because if I don't show you it and then all hell breaks loose, you won't make it. God will always show you ahead of you so that you can keep moving and reaching for it. God doesn't give you a promise so you can just sit on it. If you remember, He gave Abraham a promise saying, listen, by the way, you're going to have a kid. And remember, he was an old boy. And they laughed. But eventually, we know, 25 years later, they had a baby. And in between the point where God gave them the promise and said, hey, listen, you're going to have a son, and that son is going to be blessed, and I'm going to use him, and He talks about what He's going to do with the son. In between that point and the actual son being born, there is a process. There's about 25 years that goes by. And how many of you know that anytime God gives you something, second thing, it requires patience. And this is hard, because all of a sudden, things aren't happening the way they're supposed to happen. And Abram's wife said, hey, listen, obviously God shut up my womb, and so the best thing for you to do is actually go in and sleep with my handmaiden. Great plan. Seems logical. Because what happens is that if we're not careful, and this is the struggle that we all have, how much of me is too much in the process? And that's the struggle that we have. Because God does not take away your personality and who you are in the midst of the process. It would be easier that way. For God to give you a promise and all of a sudden make you docile. And then you just wait. I'm just waiting on God, man. It doesn't work that way. God does not take away you in the midst of the process. Because the promise is for you. The process is for you. But it's also God getting things ready. And in reality, we talk about God getting things ready. And He is. He has to get things ready. God already has things ready. He already sees it. But what He's waiting on is people to get in place and position. And when God begins to release that in your life, you'll be ready. And sometimes we're ready. And it's not that we're not the issue. We're waiting on some other things to move. And that's the blessing. God still loves you. He doesn't take you away from you. But it's the struggle of how much me is to me in the process. Because if I'm waiting, Lord, I'm waiting. And we have a tendency, if we wait too long, to start to do things in our own strength. And that's where the struggle comes in. And how many of you know, when you do things in your own strength sometimes, it doesn't work out real well. But that's why you have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's between you and God. And that's where the intimacy develops. And I believe wholeheartedly, the point of that process, between when He gives you the vision and when the actual vision begins to come in place, is that process of intimacy that God wants to develop with you. Because God's not just about you getting what you're supposed to get and then getting you to where you're supposed to be. God, this is what He wants, is the journey in between. It's no problem for Jesus to come back now and take us. Do you know that, right?
Right.
It's no problem. What He's interested in He's interested in developing the relationship along the journey, so that when we get to heaven, we can see the vastness of really what he had in mind in the first place. Do you think it's a problem for him to save? It's not. You think it's a problem for him to come back and take you now? It's not. If God wanted you, you'd be gone. But he wants you here still. You have a role to play. And so while you're here playing the role, develop that relationship with God and believe God for bigger things and go after God. Go out and believe God. Make some mistakes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, what does that mean? If God gives me a promise, I mean, I'm going to probably make a mistake. You probably will along the way. You're going to make one. The Bible is filled with people that God spoke to, but they all messed up. Because they were struggling to believe God that it would actually do it. The problem was is that God knew he was already going to do it. God just wanted them to play part in it and be involved in the process. And God eventually would work through them. And he did. But they all struggled. You're going to struggle. You're going to wake up and you're going to go after God and you're going to fall down. You're going to wake up. You're going to believe God for something. It's not going to happen. The struggle is real. It's there. It's going to happen in your life. And that's okay, because God doesn't take away you in the process. He develops you in the process. You have to know, Tom, that God has something deeper in mind than just giving you what you want. Man, he's giving you an awareness of who he is, because he knows that if you just have me, I can settle you down in the midst of it. Because it's not about getting what we're supposed to get from God. Really, it's about us getting Jesus and falling in love with Jesus in the process. And as these men began to walk, you know they made mistakes, but you know the relationship with God went to another level as God showed them who he was, and that's what God does in our life. And so if the enemy's coming in and he's bringing condemnation to you and saying, hey, listen, you're falling down, you're struggling, you're making mistakes, just agree with it and say, you know what, I'm falling down, but you know what, I am getting stronger. I'm finding out who God is and really my value, and I'm finding out what God has called me to do. Because you know that God is still creating space for you now. Sometimes we think, well, God's done. No, God is always creating space to fit me and to what he's bringing into me, when bringing later into my life. And so that's why you can't rely, Toby, on the former version of Toby. Because when God brings Toby into the next season of Toby's life, it's going to be different Toby. Because God was doing stuff in the process to get her ready to fit where she needs to go, so that she can do what God has called her to do in that process. God's already there. Toby's not ready yet. Abraham wasn't ready. So it requires patience. And that's a problem for alpha males and D personalities. High level functioning people. Because you run into an issue with God's timing in your time. You're trying to get them to slow down, and God's trying to get the I's and the C's to speed up the disc test. Look at it online. Okay. He's trying to get those people to speed up. Trying to get the D's to slow down. He's trying to get people just to come on. We got to get moving. And as we took that color test, the reds aren't the problem. I'm a red. Jeremy's a red. We're not the problem. We have problems. But God begins to, listen, we got to deal with the red, the blues. I love you. Stop worshiping me and just start doing something. You know what I'm saying? Blues love intimacy. Yellows want to have fun. I appreciate everybody having fun. But listen, they're robbing you of your joy. Let's set some boundaries. Okay? All those people, God's mixing. This is just a mix. So that's why you can't look at everybody else and see what they're doing. Because what God has called you to do has not changed. What God's doing in you has not changed. He's just creating different space inside of you so that you can receive what he has for you, and so that you can actually fit in into the next season and really the next part you have to play. You know how it is. You know how many love movies? I love movies. And so you know how you see people like, man, that person, I saw, like, The Rock has been in like 10 movies in like 6 months. I don't know if you've seen that, okay? Every time I turn around, there he is, okay? But his ability, say what you want, to adapt to different roles, it's just been amazing. Yeah. Going from wrestler to where he's at now, having to learn, adapt so that he can fit into the roles that he's playing in the movie. It's the same way with you. God wants you adapting so that you can fit into the next role you're supposed to play. That's why your flexibility is a key with God. I used to say this, I'm flexible, just don't change anything. It doesn't work that way. And so if you can allow God to bend you, mold you, and shape you, and understand that it's not taking away you, he's just revising you, making revisions to a proof that he already approves of, so that you can actually be who God has called you to be. This is key. It requires patience, because you are dealing with someone who has a different thought process than you do. As an artist who steps back and who likes to define what he's working on, we have to be careful, because sometimes we think we're ready and we're ready really to do it. But God said, I'm not done. I'm really making something beautiful out of this mess. How many of you sometimes feel like, this life, I'm just a mess right now? But God loves that mess, because in the mess, it gives God an opportunity to work. So look at yourself, whether you're in the mess or whether you feel like I'm on top. Look at yourself the same way. God doesn't look at you any differently, but appreciate the work that he's doing. Third thing it does, it requires planning and preparation. If you look at 1 Chronicles 22, the Bible says David worked really hard to get Solomon the materials, the tools, the people that he needs in order to build this temple. David does the work so Solomon can go have the glory. In your life right now, you're talking about things that you want to see accomplished in your life. It's going to require some planning and preparation. And that means I can't do some of the same things that I'm doing or I used to do if I'm going to expect a different result in my life later. It just doesn't work that way. If I want to be emotionally healthy in my life, I can't continue to walk in patterns that are counterproductive to my emotional health. That means I have to make some changes in order to do that. And that's hard work. I would say this is the hardest work to do. Because we have those things that we see in your life. You know, you have a vision of how you see yourself. You have a vision of where you see yourself. The issue is, okay, I see it. I got to make some steps in order to get there. Am I going to be perfect? No. Because some of the stuff you come up with ain't going to work. But God knows how to get you there. Regardless, God knows how to get you there. It's whether or not we're going to go with some strategies and plans in mind, or we're just going to wing it and try to get there. And I just want to say, if you wing it, it's going to take you longer to get there. Because when the Bible says, many are the plans of a man's heart, but God directs the steps, God says it's twofold. I want you to have a plan, but allow me to direct it. Because that's where I can come in, and we can develop intimacy with one another, and you can find out the things that I like and I want to see. And then I can let you know in on some of the things that I already know about you. You know God knows you better than you. Yeah. Yeah. He already knows you. And so when God, you got to know you. If you know that there are certain things about you that you don't like to see happen, you automatically have to know, I've got to make provision so that I don't fall into that trap. Or if you know, let's talk about your finances for a minute. Okay, if you know that there are certain things in my finances I do not like to see. And when I see those things, it puts me in a mood. Okay, so in order to avoid the mood, I've got to do some things in my life right now in order to keep myself happy longer than normal because of some things, right? But that's planning and preparation. So if I just continue to do it and expect that I'm going to feel better the next time I see it, it's not going to work because you're just going to get the same result. And so let's just put it plainly and practically. Most of us want to go on vacation. You have a vacation in mind you want to go on next year, okay? You need to be setting up that fund so that you are able to go on that vacation next year and not go into debt over it. And yes, well, what if things happen the next year? They probably will. But you have got to set up something. Give God something to bless. Yes. Amen. Give yourself peace of mind so that you can actually go on the vacation and not keep looking back in the checking account and see if I'm okay. But this is the natural, the practical stuff. Because it goes back to emotional health. You want to be present where you're at, not somewhere else thinking about, I got to fix it when I go home. And we've all been there. We've all been there, guys. This is not, no one's throwing stones. But what I'm saying is, let's fix the problem before it's a problem later on. So you can actually look back and say, man, I had the best time on this trip. You know why you had the best time on the trip? Because you had the money to do what you wanted to do, and you weren't concerned about the guilt you were going to feel from having to rack up a tremendous amount of credit card debt because you went to Disney for 3 days.
Yeah.
Where last year, you could have put money aside, and you could have took care of Disney 6 months ago. But Pastor Richard, you don't get it. No, I get it. I get it. It's a matter of priority in what you see in your life. If you guys listen, if there are certain things that are you and you love to do, build around that. Well, that has nothing to do with the vision that God has for my life. Yes, it does. And God wants you to live a life, a full life. He wants you to have life and have it more abundantly and be prosperous. God is going to build around the things that you love to connect with. God's not going to take that stuff away and say, well, you're walking in my plan and purpose. You no longer like sports. You no longer like dancing. Relationships are out of the question. It has everything to do with me and spirituality. God does not do it that way, because you know that God's into the totality of our whole person. And part of that is the makeup of what makes you tick and what you love to do emotionally, what you love to connect to. As a matter of fact, what you love to connect to oftentimes is what God is going to use in your life so that you can minister to other people. God, that's what God placed it there. He doesn't take away you in order to do what he wants to do. He uses you in the process. That's why it's really right now, hear this. It is a ploy of the enemy right now to get you to a place where you think that God is going to ask you to do something that you don't want to do and that you're not going to like, and it's going to take away who you are and your individualism, and you're never going to be able to really do what you want to do and have the money, and all these lies begin. And you got to stop that right away. You know that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and that God has a specific purpose for you, and that God knows intimately. He's acquainted with you. He knows what you love. The joy for God is seeing his kids connect in what they love to do. That's like any father would love to see their kid laugh and do what they called them to do. That's what he loves to do. God takes no pleasure. You can say, oh, they're angry. I love it. Stand up for righteousness. Yeah. Have righteous indignation. Yes. Go against the enemy. Yes. Enter into warfare. Yes. 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 All those things. But God still loves his kids and wants his kids prosperous and happy, because it's a direct reflection of who they serve and who their father is. Why are you so happy? I'll tell you why I'm happy. And you can have joy even in the midst of times that are difficult. You can stay steadfast and in joy even when things aren't happening the way that you want them to happen, and still live your life. It is a punch in the enemy's face for you to still live your life when things are difficult and they're hard. I'm going to still do it anyway. And I'm going to go out and do what I love to do. It is a punch in his face. And I love it. Keep punching him.
Yeah, right.
You got to go to battle for some of this stuff. Here's the thing. God does. There are some things you got to go to battle for in your life. Yeah, you want to see God's kingdom come. His will be done on earth as in heaven. That's one of the things you battle for. What's the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, the Bible talks about. Alright? That means I'm going to go to battle for that, and I get that. We're already involved in a war. But there are some things in your life you got to go to battle for. You got to take your mind back. You got to take your emotional health back. You got to take that stuff back. If you win it up here, you'll win it. But you got to take it back. But that requires you going to battle and saying, you know, I can't live like this anymore. I can't be up. And I cannot be down. I can't oscillate. Lord, I'm going to struggle. You know who I am because you use our personalities. But Lord, help me to see it. To continue to see it. That your love doesn't change. But I'm going to continue to see it. I'm going to battle for it though. Some of the things I have today are a result of me battling for it. Can't take it away from me. I battle for it. What are you battling for right now? It takes planning and preparation. Some of you might have to reprioritize your whole life. And I believe God's already doing that right now. He's already placed the vision inside of your heart. He's already placed it. You already see it. God's not taking it away from you. You've already seen it. He's just saying, now build around it. Let's build a strategy, me and you, so that we can actually see those things. I actually want to see you do those things. Actually do. Man, I remember, it was a few days ago. I'm sitting there, and you know, you have this conversation with yourself, and you're in a conversation with the Lord, and you begin, I'm just coming into agreement. I'm like, you're right, you do want me to have those things. I can have those things. And just an awareness and understanding that you are for me. So why am I thinking that you're not? So that means that my mental capacity has got to catch up with what God's thinking about. And that it does not change with what I'm going through and what kind of day I had. But mentally, that God is still the same, and that mentally, I got to catch up with what he's saying and what he's thinking. Because yeah, I can do that. And the great thing about God is he doesn't change. And he reminds us of that and who we are. I still called you to that, man. Come on up. You can still have it. I can? You can't.